What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into the Phillies Today podcast. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson, and we got a lot to get to on the latest edition of the show here. Winter meetings going on this week. Juan Soto obviously signed with the Mets for $765 million. $765 million. Feels like only a matter of time before we get that first billion-dollar contract in sports, things trending upwards, in that direction. Steve Cohen seemingly willing to spend whatever it took to get Juan Soto. I don't think there is a price point he would not have paid, frankly. The other teams involved, the Yankees, the Red Sox, not even really the Blue Jays, we're all just working that price up for a guy like Juan Soto. That is remarkable. That is $65 million more total contract value than Shohei Ohtani got. That's like double the contract that Bryce Harper signed. Truly, truly remarkable. But so a few things we need to get into in terms of the Phillies world, a few Phillies takes that I've been sitting on here for a little bit. Number one, we'll start with Soto. There was just no way the Phillies were ever going to sign that guy. There was no way they were going to outbid the Mets, frankly. I mean, the Yankees couldn't outbid for Juan Soto. The Red Sox weren't going to do it. The Mets, I just think, were always going to land Juan Soto. They always seemed like the favorite. And frankly, certainly a difference in the culture in Major League Baseball here in the year 2024 than there were, I don't know, even just a couple of years ago. It's probably the first time that, we're looking at, a situation where like the Yankees are the quote unquote little brother to the Mets. Now the Yankees did make it to the World Series. The Mets lost in the NLCS. But, having said that, it didn't even matter. Juan Soto is still willing to go cross town of where he was. Already his fourth team, age 26, kind of remarkable, won a World Series with the Nationals. Then went to the Padres, of course, lost to the Phillies in the 22 NLCS. Gets moved to the Yankees, and now his big payday, finally, for Juan Soto and Scott Boras with the New York Mets. So, my take on that was I just don't think there was any shot they were ever going to get him. Would have loved to have Juan Soto. Wasn't going to happen. All right. So let's start there. As far as Bryce Harper's concerned, when Bryce Harper signed a 13-year, $330 million contract, it seemed pretty hefty. It was the biggest deal in sports history at the time. It was a monster contract. It took until February 28th to get that done. Literally till February 28th until we had announced it. Mets fans, they have it easy. They were complaining about waiting until early December. Phillies fans had to wait until February 28th. To land Bryce Harper. This is nothing. It is nice to see guys like actually being acquired and signed at the winter meetings again and, baseball actually taking shape in a landscape well before the season begins. But the fact that Bryce Harper signed for $330 million, which is, again, less than half, two fewer years and less than half in total valuation of Juan Soto. Same client base, Scott Boras, same agent. You would imagine that Harper, Scott Boras might be coming back for that extension that they looked for a year ago. I'm sure that'll be something fun that we can all discuss as the season it becomes closer. But it is nuts to think that there's a world where just how fast this stuff moves. Like 5 years ago, Bryce Harper was the hottest commodity in baseball. Like Manny Machado signed a monster deal, and then just a couple of weeks ago it was Bryce Harper. And Harper's $330 million deal was the biggest at the time, the biggest in sports history. And in just 5 short years, $765 million is now the biggest deal. Like, it only took 5 years for that to happen. I mean, that billion-dollar contract could be coming in the next 3 to 4 years. I don't know what player it would be, but it feels like if everything is just about setting the record and year after year after year, Scott Boras has set the record with this guy, set the record with that guy, it just seems unfathomable that at some point it would not be the all-time record of $1 billion in a contract, which just seems insane. But that is just the world of baseball. So that's kind of where I'm at on the Soto thing. It was never going to happen. Now, he's going to be a thorn in the Phillies' side. Not looking forward to facing him 14 times a year. Fortunately, not the 19 times a year. The Phillies and Mets, or Phillies and all NL East opponents, used to square off. But as we saw, it can be more than 14 if you get them in the playoffs. And as of right now, the Mets took down the Phillies in the playoffs. Like, that was, you know, that's the lasting image I have of Phillies baseball, which is, and that feels like forever ago now, like literally forever ago. And I hope things are different in the year 2025. I'm not looking forward to, you know, I think it'll enhance the rivalry, Soto going to the Mets, but he's going to be a tough out for a really, really, really long time. And he hits for unbelievable numbers. And, not looking forward to it. So that's where I'm at on all of the Soto stuff. Now, of course, other moves have been in the air as well. This isn't just the off season of Juan Soto, so to speak. You're looking at Jordan Romano, who signed with the Phillies. That seems to be the Carlos Estevez role. I don't think Estevez is coming back. So they have potentially, looking for a bounce back type of candidate, potentially their closer. I mean, we'll see. He was not good in the year 2024. He was really good for the 3 years previous to that, 21, 22, and 23. I think he's an interesting bounce back candidate. Had some injury issues last year too. So I think that's where the Phillies were able to get him relatively uncontested, and not too expensive either, just because relievers, especially in the offseason, can be so hit or miss. But that, so far, that's all the Phillies have to show for it here at the winter meetings. They have Jordan Romano. Garrett Crochet got moved to the Red Sox. Didn't seem like that was going to happen. Red Sox, by the way, offered a nice little trade package for him. It would have seemingly taken Aiden Miller and potentially Justin Crawford to go get Garrett Crochet, and Phillies seemingly unwilling to do that. Now, a number of theories why. It's funny, Jack Fritz and I were on the WIP evening show discussing, or on Fritz at 6 this week, discussing the thought process behind why the Phillies are so unwilling to move prospects, because that's not Dave Dombrowski's MO, right? Like, historically, he's Mr. Aggressive, go for it kind of guy. Unless he's gotten more, Dombrowski has gotten more conservative in his old age. Wonder if it's an organizational approach of they got burned by moving prospects in the early 2010s. They did not replenish the farm system. They went all in and they paid for it for like 10 years. And they really want to keep this window open with guys like Aiden Miller and Justin Crawford and Starlin Cabba and Andrew Painter. And they don't seem to be available in trade talks. They'll say that they're available. They'll say anyone's available for the right price. But it seems like those guys are pretty much untouchable in trade talks, even if Garrett Crochet is on the table. So you're going to lose out on deals to the Boston Red Sox in cases like that. So thought that was really, really interesting, kind of lends you further into the organizational mindset that I think we kind of learned about at the trade deadline. So that's kind of where things stand there. And just in terms of, again, just the organizational mindset kind of thing. Okay, well, if you're not willing to do that, then what difference-making type of player are you going to acquire in an offseason like this? I heard time after time after time, call after call after call on WIP, tweet after tweet after tweet, just anywhere where you could possibly react to how the Phillies lost in the 2024 NLDS was, oh, there's got to be major changes, got to be major changes here, major changes there. They can't just quote unquote run this thing back. There is no way that in people's minds, after losing the 22 World Series, 23 NLCS, and the 24 NLDS, again, the same pattern they started making without the World Series title in 2009 through 11, you know, based upon that, that you couldn't just quote unquote run the team back. And I think they're, you know, every day that goes by, I think they're getting closer to quote unquote running it back. I mean, yes, Jordan Romano is different than Estevez. They might not bring back Jeff Hoffman. Hoffman posted on a kind of a bit of a cryptic Instagram story. It was him pitching in the All-Star game for the Phillies, and it had like the little like sand timer thing, if you can imagine that, like, you know, an hour clock where you turn over the sand and it tick, 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 tick kind of thing. Well, he had an emoji of that seemingly to indicate that time's ticking here. Maybe he wants to sign somewhere by the end of the week. Getting the sense that that might not be the Phillies. His market just might dictate him going elsewhere. I loved watching Jeff Hoffman. I thought he was the best reliever on the Phillies this year. I think everyone would agree with that. But he might not be back. So is Jordan Romano going to be your best reliever? I think that would mean the bullpen is worse than it was a season ago. I think your lineup as of right now, I mean, it's just the same. There's nothing different about it. I'll get into the Alec Boehm trade rumors in just a little bit here, but there's been nothing of tangible substance to say that this team is going to look, I mean, any different in the year 2025, like literally anything different. And I never really understood the quote unquote big changes type of mindset at the end of 24. I just don't know what they would be. But I would like for them to, you know, maybe go acquire another outfielder or acquire a third baseman. Kyle Tucker's name has been out there too. We'll get to him in a minute. But yeah, I don't think this is going to be some huge changes type of offseason. It feels like they're already setting up for the, you know, we were close and we just had a bad week, even though that's BS and they didn't just have a bad week. They played poorly for long stretches of the 24 season and it really came to the forefront and the limelight on a national stage in that final week of the year in the postseason. But that was not something new. That was not a problem that should go unaddressed all offseason long. And right now it's going to. The only on the other side of the break, we'll get to the Alec Boehm trade rumors. We will get to the potential move for Kyle Tucker with the Astros. And maybe anyone else who could potentially be moved, in a trade like that or off the Phillies roster, major league roster, in this offseason, because it doesn't seem like any of those minor league guys are going anywhere. You're listening to the Phillies Today podcast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Phillies Today podcast. Of course, I am your host, Dan Wilson, and you're getting these Alec Boehm trade rumors. So Rob Thompson, on MLB Network earlier in the week to discuss the trade rumors. And again, I got a few thoughts on Boehm potentially getting moved here. Number one is it feels like he is the most movable guy, which I think makes a lot of sense. Like he just as the third baseman of the team seems like the guy most likely to be moved, frankly. And Alec Boehm, like, you know, I think he's a valuable player. I think he's got value elsewhere. I think his defense is suspect, but his offense, he was bad at the end of the year, but he's a good contact hitter, got a nice swing, could provide value for other teams. Now, he's not super young anymore. Like, he's got 2 years left on his contract, and he's 28, I think, if not 29. Like, he's closer to the wrong side of 30, but other teams see value in him. So anyway, Rob Thompson gets asked about Alec Boehm, and he kind of alluded. He's like, yeah, I know there's been rumors out there, but we're not shopping him. But if other teams are interested, you got to listen. you know, kind of alluding to the fact that they're really going all in on Boehm. I think maybe he should, frankly, not been so transparent, been like, Alec Boehm's our guy, by saying, you got to listen. I don't know, that indicates, if he's not even, quote unquote, telling the truth there, which I don't think he would tell the full truth about Alec, but, you know, he's saying that to try and downplay it, but I don't think he even downplayed it enough. That seems like they are very much considering, what I hear is they're very much considering trading Alec Boehm. Again, he's been in every trade rumor possible. And for a guy who's been a bit of a head case since he's been here, not doesn't strike me as the mentally toughest guy on the team or in baseball. I don't know if that's the message you want to be sending to him in an offseason. Like, he's going to come back. If you have to bring him back in the year 2025 after he knows and the whole world knows that you tried to move him basically all offseason, I don't know. What version of Alec Boehm do you see in the year 2025 mentally? I don't doubt that the physical tools are there, but mentally, what does that guy look like? And so that's where I really get concerned. There are certain players, athletes just in sports in general, who would react positively to that kind of thing. Like, oh, you wanted to trade me? Like, I'll show you. I want to make you untradeable. Or if you do trade me, you're going to get a lot back for me, and I'm going to make you regret that move. I don't know if I get that sense from Alec Boehm. Now, I get it. Like, rumors are going to leak out. I'm not saying to stop that, but I think Rob Thompson could have put it to bed a little bit more, a little kind of like what Daryl Morey does every single time that someone's rumored. Daryl Morey with the Sixers, of course. If you're Alec Boehm, don't know how thrilled you are, how much you're feeling the close-knit clubhouse thing with the rest of the team. Also, you're probably wondering, like, how am I the only guy getting moved? Like, everyone else is safe. Obviously, Bryce isn't going anywhere. Don't think Romito's going anywhere. Stott, no. Turner, definitely not. Marsh feels like they're less inclined to move. Rojas, no. Hayes has already been non-tendered, not coming back. Castellanos, no. Like, you got a pretty similar lineup. So, again, never really bought the idea that this was not going to be a run it back season, or that things would be completely different in the year 2025, or that you, quote unquote, can't run it back. I just need to see one tangible change, and Boehm feels like the only tradable guy they have. Let's get into a potential guy like Kyle Tucker. It's this really sexy name. Would love to have him on the Phillies. I just don't see any way it happens. And you're trading for a guy on an expiring deal, but you still probably have to go up one of your prospects to get him. Otherwise, what's in it for the Astros? They could probably go get a better price. Listen, you know, that's just doing business. That's not feeding to the head case Alec Boehm thing if you move Boehm for Kyle Tucker. Like, that's something you have to do. But the fact that seemingly every move, the starting point is Alec Boehm because they don't have anyone else to trade, well, that's not necessarily a good thing. So, again, to just kind of recap here, Boehm, you know, didn't necessarily love how Thompson handled it. Just put it to bed a little bit neater, tighter, so to speak. Wonder what Alec Boehm was thinking. Would love to get a pulse on him from Kansas. Think he sometimes goes to Texas in the offseason. Like, what's he thinking around these winter meetings? You know, what is he seeing? What are his thoughts? So that's really interesting. And then just what this Philly team is going to look like in the year 2025. Each day that goes by feels like it's going to be the same. Few tweaks of the bullpen, same rotation. By the way, there have been a few rumors, I would say, with Ranger Suarez in the mix, but it seems more likely than not that he's coming back too. Yeah, I don't know if I just see any scenario where the rotation isn't, you know, Wheeler, Nola, Sanchez, and then Suarez, and their starting lineup, Schwarber, Realmuto, Harper, Stott, Turner, could be Alec Boehm again, Marsh back and left, right now Rojas in center, Castellanos on right. You hope you get another platoon guy, but going to be a lot of familiar faces, and a lot of familiar faces who ended the year in New York on the wrong end of things. And, you know, listen, I hope that there's a different outcome in the year 2025. I know they're going to be hungry. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that they'll probably start out hot, but how are things going to last over 162. They squandered a massive, massive opportunity this past summer, just how well things were going. And I just, to try to keep this World Series window alive, I get it, but I really hope, like, that it needs to result in a World Series trophy for this era to be considered successful, because otherwise Dave Dombrowski is just going to be remembered in his, you know, one of his last, if not last, stops in baseball, depending on what happens with this ultimate Nashville expansion type team. But his last traditional president of baseball operations, Phillies job, like, I don't know, is he going to be remembered as a go-getter as he was in other stops? Like, no. Like, the Dave Dombrowski in Detroit or Boston would have went for it in this case. And it feels like he's just a little bit more reserved than we've seen him be in years past, than we saw Ruben Amaro be in years past, than we saw a lot of guys be in years past. So really hopeful they can pull the trigger on a move. Don't know exactly what it's going to be. Just hope we can get another rumor to sink our teeth into. Baseball, again, pitchers and catchers, about 2 months and a little bit of change away. That would be really, really awesome to get some sort of shakeup. But if not, I guess this Phillies team's just running it back. If everyone said you can't run it back, could very, very well be the case that we're looking at running it back. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Phillies Today podcast. Again, stay tuned for more with my co-host. Until next time, this has been Dan Wilson. Thank you so much for listening.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.